Beis Yud Gimel. That's the bottom of page Yud Tes. I remember back a long way because we did all the pre-Pesach items for 2 weeks before Pesach. Hope everybody had a wonderful Yontif. Good. Whether you were where there was snow or whether you were where there was warm temperature. Either way, Chodesh Aviv. Different things to different people. But Yud Gimel is talking about, it's part of a series talking about, things that a borrower might do in order to evade paying back a lender. So the last thing we had done in Yud Beis was where he took a some kind of a konam, a version of a vow, saying his property is off limits to the lender. Now we talk about where he simply throws his stuff out in the street and says it's hefker, it's ownerless, and therefore hypothetically it can't be collected as payment of the debt, theoretically, because we'll see what happens. Yesh omrim, some say, shem hifkir halove lechasav, that if the borrower declares his property ownerless, bal chov gova mehem, the creditor can still collect from it. Afilu b'milva al peh, and even if the loan was just a verbal loan. So we'll have to explain that clause. But in terms of the tactic itself, what do you suppose this person is trying to accomplish by declaring it ownerless?
Spite.
Well, does he accomplish anything, though? What's going to happen once he declares it ownerless? Right. Anybody can take it. So, number one, he's lost it. Number two, guess who anybody could be?
He could take it back, right? And then what if he takes it back?
Then he still owes money. And
no, but he made it hefker. He dissociated himself from it. Then he takes it back. It's like, isn't it like yunachasim?
So that's fine. His yunachasim are also bound. Uh-huh. In other words, what Gerald is saying would work if we were talking about something that had a lien on it, and now you were breaking the lien, assuming you could do that by declaring it ownerless. But if there's no lien, then you've done nothing.
So the lien's kind of like on his whole, it's not, everything he owns.
Well, it's not a lien, but because if it was a lien, it would be. Yeah. But whatever claim there is going to be on whatever new stuff he gets as well as the old stuff he has. So that's not what he's accomplishing. And not only that, the creditor could be the one who's going to take it out of Hefker. Even if he can't claim it as payment of the debt, he's still going to walk over and say, wonderful, now this is mine. And he may, as we'll see, even still owe the money. In other words, imagine the following argument. Let's say I owed somebody $1 million, and I said, well, he's not getting it. I'm going to declare it ownerless. The guy comes along, he takes the property, and he says, since what I claimed was out of Hefker, that wasn't payment of the debt. You still owe me $1 million, and I have all your property.
But it's still a scenario that makes sense when the lender is away. So he's not so sure that other people will take what he has, not the lender.
So it's pure spite that he's going to hurt himself.
That's the only reason I can come up.
Because he still owes the money when all is said and done.
Well, it's a great way to give property to your wife.
So that's what I was thinking, was what Michael suggests. That this is some means of communicating the property to somebody in a way that the courts can't break it. In other words, in the event that he gave it away to somebody as a gift, then if there was some kind of a lien, then the creditor would be able to go to the person and take it. But if he declares it ownerless, maybe he can escape any sort of claim, because I didn't give it to the fellow, I declared it ownerless, and somebody else just came and took it from Hefker. So maybe that's what this fellow was trying to do. The alternative is that this isn't a strategy at all. In other words, we're not dealing with a borrower who's trying to get out of paying. It's simply, these are the repercussions of event X. In the event that, for whatever reason, having nothing to do with the loan, somebody declares something of his ownerless, can the creditor go claim it as payment of the debt, or does the creditor have no special claim because it's ownerless? That will be another way to view the case.
It's a bit of a tangent, but can the courts follow ownership? Because in civil court cases, if you give something away to avoid a debt crystallizing on it, they follow it.
Right, so the answer is if there's a lien, then they can. That's called shibud. And then they definitely are able to follow it. If there's no lien, it becomes dicier. So let's take a look at Yud Gimel. Well, we just read Yud Gimel, actually. So some say that the creditor is able to collect it, even if it was a verbal debt. So in order to understand what this is talking about, we take a look at Oz Lamed, which is the bottom line of the Pesach Hoshe, and on the bottom of your test, it's going to go over onto Chaf. But he quotes you the Ramah, and then he's going to quote you, and he says, this is following the view of the Taz. So what did the Ramah say, and what did the Taz say? So pull in the side sheet, and I brought you both. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpat Reish Memhei, Hamakabel es hamatana v'zachaba, if a person accepts a gift and he acquires it, This is not our case. Okay, we're going to get to our case. But a person accepts a gift, he acquires the gift. But after he got the gift already, and he didn't say, I don't want it, then he said, you know what, I don't want this gift. This comes up in the Pesach discussions a lot. Right? The classic question, what if somebody sends you chametz on Pesach? Right? The cereal company is sending out samples and putting them in everybody's mailbox. So you have a cereal thing show up on your property on Pesach. So the first case he gives here is somebody who didn't say anything when he first got something, and then later said, well, I don't really want this. Oh, eini mekabla. He said, I don't want it, or I don't accept it. Oh, harehi betela, or he said, this is void. Oh, mumze nira liba, or he says, you know what, that's defective, I don't want it. Lo amar klum, le'inyin shetachzer lebailim. So his declaration does not make the gift revert to the original owner. Ela harehi hefker b'chalakodim ba'azacha, is ownerless. And whoever gets it first gets it. Why? Because he already accepted the gift. Right? He's already done an act of accepting. So once you did an act of accepting, any further declaration you make can make it ownerless, but it won't go back to the original person. His claim is already gone. You follow? Unless you actively give it to the person as a gift. But it's yours in the same way that if you get the item and you don't say, I don't want this, it's now your item. Okay, that has nothing to do with our discussion, except there's a little note that the Rama adds in parentheses. We said this item is hefker. So the Rama adds, quoting the Tur, that if this person who received the gift and then declared he didn't want it, if there was a creditor to whom he owed money, the creditor is allowed to claim it, even though he has already declared it hefker. You follow? Here, I can imagine a story very easily. The following story. Okay, Reuven owed $1 million. Shimon, in general, knows that Reuven is a guy in need. And Shimon says, you know, I really want to help him out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to assign him a parcel of land. I'm going to give him a parcel of land that will be his and he can farm it or whatever it is. I'm not using it. I'd like to help this guy out. Not knowing anything about the debt, but just knowing this is a guy in need. He gives him the parcel of land. He gives him the deed. Kenyan is made. And then the borrower, Reuven, says to himself, great, you know what's going to happen? I owe this fellow $1 million. He's just going to take the land. I don't want it. I don't want the land. What we're learning here is that that doesn't make the land revert to the previous owner because you already acquired it. All it does is make it hefker. That's number one. But number two, not only that, what the Rama is saying is that Reuven's creditor can actually claim this land, even though it's already been made hefker, doesn't matter. Because the borrower owned it at one point, the creditor is able to claim it. That's the idea. Everyone clear on what the Rama is saying?
Yeah. The question. The lender can claim anything anyway.
Sorry?
This is the piece of land which is hefker. The lender can go and claim it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be connected to the loan.
Once I say that the lender is able to claim it, you know what that means? That means if somebody else comes up, if somebody else comes along and tries to take it, he says, no, I have a claim. Because he owes me money. In other words, we treat this hefker land as though it was still owned by the borrower and up for collection. And the question is why?
No, it's hefker. Comes first and takes before.
I'm not so sure. We're going to see. But it doesn't. It does not appear to be. Take a look at the Taz. Jump to source Gimel, please. We're going to come back to Bayes, God willing. But this is the position of the Taz in explaining how this works. Actually, you know what? No, now I see why I did it. The advantage of the order that I have here. Do the Sma first, please. The Sma is source Bayes. Both the Sma and the Taz are standard commentaries to Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. So the Sma, which stands for Sefer Me'iras Einayim, writes on this line of Im Yeshlo Baal Cho Gova Mimenu of the Rama. Nirai, as it appears, Demorenu HaRama Airi b'balchov diyeshlo al hamekabel shtar be'edim. He says, we're talking about here, the Rama is talking about here, a creditor who has a document with witnesses on it that the borrower owes him the money. Does kol nechasav mishuba dimlahu. Therefore, all of the property of the borrower is indeed subject to a lien. There's that word. Subject to a lien, to a shibud, to the creditor. Vilav kol kaminei lahafkiran. Guess what? He does not have the power to make it hafkir. He's unable to do so. Ulav kuei mishuba dimeacher. Dimeacher dikvar zachabo mekabel. And he cannot remove nechasav mishuba dim, property that is encumbered. Because once he already got it, now the lender has the claim. You follow? The argument that the SMA makes is that the reason this works is because the instant the borrower acquired it, the lender acquired it. And because the lender has a hold on it, it doesn't actually become hefker at all. That's the argument that the SMA makes. And following that logic, nobody else is able to take it. If somebody else comes along and says, great, you entered this hefker, I've wanted this land. The answer is too bad, because it's actually not hefker. As long as there's a shtar, right? As long as there's a deed. The SMA specified a deed.
It's not specified in the shtar.
No. It's automatic with the shtar. Correct. That's a separate discussion about what we say, achrayos taus sofer. If achrayos, which is the term for the encumbrance, is omitted from the document, do we assume that's just because of scribal error, and not because they actually didn't intend to having the encumbrance in the agreement? That's a debate. Okay, so that's the position of the SMA. The Taz gives us a different point of view.
Isn't it a bit of a stretch to say that he was inferring that it was subject to the written document?
He's saying the only way that this works, the way the Rambam would have said this would have been in these circumstances. That's the idea. Okay. The Taz has a different point of view. The Taz is source Gimel. He says on that line in the Rambam, when the Rambam said that if there is a creditor, the creditor is able to claim it, even though the borrower tried to make it hefker. So he quotes the Sma, Bismas if katan yudches, which was what we just saw, Piresh demari bishtar. He said that's talking about where there is a deed particularly, where there's a document. Ulefiani is daiti, but he says, in my humble opinion, Dehuadin bemilva alpe. The truth is, this would apply even to a verbal loan without any document. Why? Kevan she'en lo bamel shalem rak mizeh, ein biyado lahafkiro, ulahazik biyadayim lachaveiro. So he has this quirky line in which he says the borrower does not have the power to make it hefker because he would be actively harming the creditor, because there's no other way to pay him. Well, that would make it a rabbinic takana, right? Shalot Tinoldeles is a rule saying we don't permit activities which will put a chill on lending. Or sometimes we actively create institutions which will prevent that chill from existing. But here it doesn't sound like it's a takana. It doesn't sound like anybody enacted anything. It sounds like it's simply a statement of he doesn't have the authority to harm the other fellow. It's a very odd turn of phrase. It's not at all clear what this means. In other words, we're not calling this hezek. Let me put it differently. I am not able... Well, I take it back. Maybe this is exactly what he's saying. Imagine the following circumstance. Two cases. Case number one. You own property, and I go over to the field, and I burn it. Is the field burnt? Yes, right? It's a physical event. Second circumstance. You own property. I go over to the field, and I say, this now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Did that work? No. No, because I don't have title. I don't have the ability. I don't own it. So maybe what he is suggesting here is that even though there is no lien, because there's no document for the loan, nonetheless, since you have nothing else to pay him with, this item is really considered to be, it's not under an encumbrance, but somehow it quasi belongs to the lender, and you would be harming him. And you don't have the power to do that. It's like you declaring his property belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The reason I'm troubled by this is because there's no encumbrance. Therefore, who says he ever had title? And the term that he used is not like the term that the Sma used. The Sma said, you cannot remove shibud, you cannot remove an encumbrance from it. Here, where there is no encumbrance, he says, well, you know, you'd be hurting the other guy. And therefore what? But he says, v'yesh hochacha lizeh, he says, there is proof to this. We're continuing in the Taz, the source Gimel. He says, you can prove this. Mimad kai molan, de'ein adam ne'man lomar, amasha tachas yado shehu shel acherim. We have a rule, which is that one is not credible to say that the property that he has in his house belongs to somebody else. Okay, when the shaliach of the Beit Din comes in and wants to do sidur, right? He wants to take property for payment of the debt and leave him whatever he needs for his livelihood and so on. So the borrower says, oh, well, this can't be used for payment of the debt. Why not? Because it actually belongs to Chaim. Right? That's the borrower's statement. So he doesn't have any credibility to be able to do that. So the Taz says, well, that's really interesting. Why isn't he credible? If a person had the ability to render it hefker, then yihye neman benigo daya achshav mafkiro sheyuchlu osan acherim lizkos bahen. He offers you a remarkable idea. Okay? It's a migo. Migos are always fun. Migo literally, in its most basic level, means, well, literally, it means from inside of. But that's the literal translation. What it really means is as a result of, or since. And what it means here is this. We normally say that a person is credible to claim circumstance X if he had another way he could have created that circumstance anyway. In other words, he didn't need to make this claim. He could have brought it about even without making this claim. So, in the case over here, we say, why not, the Taz says, why not believe him to say that the property belongs to somebody else? You know what he could have done? He could have rendered it ownerless in front of the guy and let the guy actually take it. That's the Migo. Since he could achieve this goal of assigning it to Chaim, right? Since he could have achieved the goal of assigning it to Chaim by rendering it Hefker in front of Chaim and letting Chaim pick it up, therefore we should believe him when he simply says, this belongs to Chaim. Because he has no reason to lie. He could have just done it straight. You follow? The argument is, the general theory of Migo is, if somebody says to me that circumstance X is true, I will believe him if he didn't really need to make that statement. He had some other way he could have achieved the same end. Here, if he says to me the item belongs to Chaim, I should believe him. Because he could have just rendered it ownerless. And that way Chaim could have picked it up. And then it would have been Chaim's. So since he could have done this himself, he didn't need to lie, we assume he's telling the truth. That's the idea. And he says, from the fact that we don't declare this Migo, that must mean that he doesn't have the ability to render it Hefker. Are we somewhat clearer? No.
But is the Shaliach Beit Din claiming or taking things on behalf of...
On behalf of the lender. No, not Chaim. Chaim's not my lender. Chaim is some other guy. Yeah. In other words,
on behalf of the
lender. I owe Dan money. Okay, I'm defaulting on the loan. They want to claim my sofa. I say the sofa belongs to Chaim. You can't claim that. And I should be believed because I could have always just told Chaim, hey, I'm rendering the sofa hefker, now you go acquire it. Since I could have done it that way, therefore, I should be credible to simply make the item... since I could have achieved the goal in that way, I should be believed when I simply say, yeah, that's Chaim's sofa.
And from the fact, Chaim is the son-in-law of somebody. Maybe he was
Chaim is just my friend. Chaim is just my friend who I know, if he owns the sofa, he's going to let me sleep on it. That's it.
Okay.
That's my goal. My goal here is to keep the sofa out of your hands, Dan.
Right.
That's my mission in life. So the point for us is that since I'm not believed to declare that the sofa belongs to Chaim, that is evidence that I didn't have the ability to achieve that end by rendering it hefker. That's the idea. So, coming back to our point, what the Taz is doing is providing support for this idea, not out of logic, but out of case law. It's very important to understand the way this works. The Sma proved his point via logic, right? The Sma said, it's where there is a shtar. It's where there is a deed, because there's an encumbrance on this thing, therefore you can't render it hefker, because it's not yours. That was the Sma. The Taz expands it beyond the encumbrance with this vague statement about you don't have the ability to harm somebody else, which is not very clearly defined. But he says, I can prove it to you from case law. I can prove it to you from the fact that Torchiner couldn't say, this sofa belongs to Chaim. From the fact that Torchiner can't say that, that demonstrates that Torchiner didn't have the ability to get it to Chaim by rendering it ownerless. That's the idea. Are we somewhat clear on the way that Taz is accomplishing this? I'm trying to think if there's another way to state this. I would bring in a different Migo case, but I'm worried that that's only going to muddy the waters. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to start bringing in additional Migo cases, because I can't come up with one that's a more simple one that we can just go into and then jump out of. So that's the position taken by the Taz. The difference between the Sma and the Taz, number one, is that the Sma restricts the ability of the creditor to collect it to the case only where there is a document, where there's an original loan document. And number two, their method is different. The Taz brought this Migo case as his support. So now go back into the Pisei Choshen, please. The Pisei Choshen is the bottom of the page that's marked Yud Tes, and then we're going to go to the top of the page Chav. He says, this idea that the Baal Chov can collect, and we said in the Pisei Choshen on top, even if it's a verbal loan, so he says, Ukeperish HaTaz. That's working with the Taz's explanation. And then flipping on to page Chav, V'eskimo imo b'ktos achoshen v'nesivos ha'mishpat sham. The ktos and the nesivos agree with the position taken by him, take it that applies even to him. Udelo kisvaras ha'sma, and against the sma, I'm reading in the parentheses, shedavka b'milva b'shtar ha'din kain. Because the sma said it's only if there's a document. After the parentheses, line 2, Dekeven she'elo nechasim acherim lefroa chovo, elo lahafkir lahazik lacherim. Because the argument that he makes is, since he has nothing else to use to pay, he has no ability to make this hefker and harm others. Umashma shafilu kvar zacha bohem acher, vafilu bimetaltalin. Motzi and Miyado, the implication of what he says, when he says you don't have the authority to render it ownerless, the implication of this position of the Taz is, therefore, if you render it ownerless and somebody else comes along and takes it, even if it's a movable item, which is not normally considered encumbered, Motzi and Miyado, we take it away from him. Ulasvarazu, and within this view, Imhayu lo nechasim acherim b'shar shehifkir, ein bal chov gova mehem. If there was other property available at the time that he rendered this ownerless, then the creditor would not be able to take it. The only reason he's able to take it is because we're not going to empower him to harm the fellow. But once there is other property, he's not harming him. You follow? Since it's all predicated on the idea of your hefker is hurting this guy, if your hefker is not hurting the guy, then you don't have the ability, then he no longer has the ability to take it. Now, we get two additional points.
Even if that other property that he does own is much more difficult to liquidate?
So it would appear. It doesn't matter, because it's there. It's there and it's claimable, and therefore your hefker isn't sabotaging him sufficiently.
He owns property in Costa Rica, I mean.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Okay. V'kasvu aktsos hachoshen nesivos hamishpat.
It's okay.
So now we're going to see two applications of this. V'kasvu aktsos hachoshen unesivos hamishpat sham. Shim zacha bahem ba'alchov kodem shazacha bahem acher ein halova niftar mechovo. He says the ktsos and the nesivos, right, that if the Baal Chov, if the creditor gets it before anybody else does, out of Hefker, ein halova niftar mechovo. This is what I suggested before. The borrower does not get out of paying the debt. In other words, this is really sort of having your cake and eating it too. Number one, we're saying that the borrower does not have the authority to make it hefker. But on the other hand, we're saying that it's hefker enough that if the creditor takes it, it still doesn't count as payment of the debt. Because it wasn't the borrower's at the time that the creditor took it. It was hefker. He's getting burnt both ways. That's the problem with what we're saying. Precisely. So keep on reading. He says, see the Ketzos HaChoshen here, Kuvei Dal, is a separate note. Umistapek ha-nesivos ha-mishpat kishazacha ba'al-chov ba'hem betaraz guvayna shalo yada shehifkiran. The nesivos is unsure, though, if he takes it not as hefker, but if he takes it as guvayna, which means payment, or collection, literally. If he goes in and says, I am taking this as collection of the debt, then, meaning, he didn't know that it had been made hefker. So then maybe it really is collection. Im niftar lo v'kach, then he's not sure that the borrower may indeed be considered to have paid off his debt. Umitzadeh lomar, dekevan shenasa hefker, damyo l'nichse achirim. He argues that since it was made hefker, it is considered to be like someone else's property. And since he thought that it belonged to the borrower, and when he took the items, he forgave the debt, meaning he thought that this wasn't hefker. So he thought he was taking his loan's worth, and that therefore it was now, the loan is over. So habli mechila batalus, maybe it's called erroneous forgiveness, because it wasn't, it was hefker. In other words, what we're really saying is, we're gonna burn the borrower both ways. We're gonna burn the borrower both ways. He owes this fellow $1,000, okay, the loan's gone down. He owes this fellow $1,000, he rendered his own property ownerless, and now what we're saying is, well, it's not really ownerless, because you don't have the power to do that, but it's ownerless enough that this isn't called paying off the debt. It's really a remarkable idea. It's a very strange idea. So let's take a look at the Ketzos in Source Dalet and see if we can get a little insight, because the Ketzos is the source for this idea.
They just decided to protect the borrower, because if there's any way that the... I beg upon the lender, because if there's any way the borrower does succeed in declaring it owners, the lender's going to get his money either way.
I suppose, but we could have protected him by simply saying it isn't ownerless, and that would have been that. It's very odd.
Because if it isn't ownerless.
Sorry?
It's 100% knas. Where would you find such a thing?
So it sounds, no? Take a look at Dalit. Gova mimena. Kasa bisma zal. He quotes the sma. I think the Zal is probably Zel Ashono. He says, "Ein lefarish de kavanas moreno harama haya lemasha kasav animuke yose perak yeshnoklin beviu bedarke Moshe de kasav de af imhu hafker v'cholakodim bozacha mikomakom im kadam baal chov v'zacha bo nifter amakabel mechovo." He says, "The animuke Yosef quoted in the Darkei Moshe said the following. He said that even if the item is hefker, and whoever gets it first gets it, okay? Even if the item that the borrower says is now ownerless, Even if it is ownerless, such that whoever gets there first is gonna be able to have the right to it. Mikol makom, still, in kadam bal chov v'zacha bo, niftar hamakabel mechovo. If the creditor gets to it first, then the debt is considered paid. That's the position of the Ibuki Yosef, even though it is hefker within his view. Velo matzil meimar hay mehefkera kazachin v'chovi b'mekomo omed ayin sham. And the guy can't say this is claimed out of hefker, and therefore the debt to me stands. That's the position taken by the Nimuka Yosef. The Nimuka Yosef takes the sort of the opposite position, if you will. Right? Think about this. There are two ways that you can be self-contradictory in this conversation. One way to be self-contradictory is what is alleged in the name of the Ksos, which is it is not really hefker, but it's hefker enough that when the creditor takes it, that doesn't cancel the debt. That was one paradox. Now the Nimuka Yosef is putting forward the opposite paradox. It is hefker, so that anybody could take it. But if the creditor takes it, the debt is paid off. Okay, that's the other. That's the opposite paradox. We now have four ducks. That's the idea. So he says that's not what the Rama is saying. The Rama was not saying that. V'yachol af giro. We're back in here still. V'yachol af giro. I'm sorry, I jumped a line. I jumped. The Deim Kane lo havale lemorenu harama lichtov v'hai lishna debalchov gove mimenu. He says that doesn't fit, because the Rama's language was the balchov is gove. The word gove implies claiming payment of a debt. It's not simply taking something that is hefker. Taking something that is hefker would be lokeach, kone, something like that. Gove suggests that a debt is being paid. So he says, that can't be what's going on here. That's all a quote from the Sma. And now the Ksos says, Utmihani baseh, I am surprised by this. Kaven de behefker kodem zacha, since the rule in hefker is whoever gets there first gets it. Amaylo yuchal abalchov lizkos bo mitaras hefker kmo sh'ar kol ha'adam v'alchov kidekoi koi. He says, why can't the creditor claim it from hefker like anybody else? And the loan will still stand. In other words, taking the view, let's say it is hefker. The upshot of all of this is that we're being presented with two opposing possibilities, neither of which is really consistent. Right? That's what we're saying. That's what we're seeing here. I'm not clear that we're going to get to a resolution of this, but I'm going to plug on in the Pesach Choshen, because he's going to give you a second application of this issue. Take a look back in the Pesach Choshen pages.
Well, doesn't the idea of Kidekai Kai, that is consistent, isn't it? It is hefker, and you have not fulfilled your obligation to pay by doing so.
It is hefker.
And no one's fulfilled any obligation.
And no one has fulfilled any obligation to pay.
It's not a paradox.
Say that again. It is hefker. Yeah, no, that will be correct.
Yeah. That's the last thing he's saying, right? But is that his opinion saying?
Well, the only problem is that he has expressed the opinion earlier that the Baal Chov is able to take it as though it's not hefker, as though it still belongs to the
Baal. So when he's saying at the end, he's just saying it as a question without attributing it to his personal opinion?
I think so. I don't remember whether I quoted the entire Ksos at this point. I made this up a while ago. I'd have to go back and see. Let's take a look at this Nesivos HaMishpat that he's going to quote here. Menesivas Hamishpat Simon Lamed Zayin Sifkatan Yud Gimel Hevi Divrei Hatumim Shebal Chov Yachol Ligbos Mechefet Shenea Bar Mimenu Venisya Eish. He says the Menesivas Hamishpat, another late commentator to Choshen Mishpat, I believe Rabbi Yaakov Lorberbaum of Lisa is the Menesivas Hamishpat, but I'm not sure of that. But he quotes the Tumim to say that a creditor is able to claim from an item that the borrower lost and gave up hope of ever getting back. Okay, not a normal hefker case, in other words. He lost something. He didn't intend for it to become hefker, but he lost it. And he doesn't think he's ever seeing it again. Sheyeyushka hefker. The reason why he's able to do so
is because Yeush, something being ownerless, because he gave up on it, is like any other hefker. But the Nesivos himself disagreed and said, no. He says the Tumim said that, but I disagree. Giving up hope is not like rendering it ownerless. And see the discussion over there. So he says, Vilich Ora, the end of the same line. Vilich Ora Hainu Lisvaras Hasma. Shemidin Nechasim Mishubadim Hugove Uvamilva Bishtar. He says, this position that he's taking is going to depend on whether I follow the view of the Sma or the view of the Taz. The Sma's position was, remember, that the borrower, the lender, can only claim this if there was a document, because there's a lien. So what you are claiming is from the law of Nechasim Mishubadin, encumbered property. Right? Shemidin Nechasim Mishubadin Ugova, Uvamilva Bishtar, it's where there's a document. So that fits. Aval Isvaras Hataz Shagova Afmi Metaltal and Mishum Delav Kol Kamine Lahafkir Lahazik Lamalva. But according to the view of the Taz, who said that what your claim, your ability to claim this item that the guy wanted to make hafker is because he doesn't have the authority to harm the creditor this way. So he says, Yesh La'ayin, then there's room to examine. Im Svara Zu Shayachas Gabe Aveda Shalo Hisya'esh Mimena Meritzono. There's room to examine whether this argument is relevant for an item that was lost, where he did not willingly give up hope. V'afshir Sheba opens that lo havi kehafker. So maybe we wouldn't view this like being mafki or something. In other words, essentially what I think he's suggesting, and maybe this will give us a degree of clarity, maybe, is that the position taken by the SMA, that this is about a document loan, a loan and recorded in a document, and it's really about a lien, makes this a technical rule. And if it's a technical rule, you don't have the ability to render things ownerless, then the rule is it doesn't become ownerless, and therefore the creditor can claim it. And when he claims it, it is indeed payment of a debt, because it never became ownerless. So it's as though you waved a magic wand at it and you said abracadabra. And just like saying abracadabra does nothing to the object, so too rendering it ownerless does nothing to the object. When the smoke clears, it's still yours, and the lender is able to take it. That's one view. That's the Sma's view. The Taz, as he's presenting it here, does sound almost like rabbinic intervention. We're saying, you don't have the ability to hurt the lender in this way. We're not going to let you do that. Now, technically, you do have the ability. Set fire to the field, and the lender's going to have to kiss it goodbye. You have the ability. But insofar as what you did was not setting fire to it, but rather you tried to employ legally recognized mechanisms of abandoning the property, that's why it didn't work. Because we hold the keys to legal mechanisms. And we're not going to allow you to make this hefker. I feel bad, Byron had to go to Mincha. But I think that's what Byron was suggesting before. The position of the Taz is that you can't do this because we won't let you do it. And therefore, number one, they suggest here, in the event that you weren't the bad guy, you lost the item, you weren't trying to thwart anything, it just happened, then it will go through. The item will indeed become hefker. You follow?
Yeah.
That will be the argument. But now let's go back to our paradoxes. Now I can maybe understand why you could hold two opposing ideas at the same time, such as declaring, yes, it is hefker. I'm sorry, declaring, no, it's not hefker, but if he takes it, you still owe the money. It's like a knas, as Chaim said. It's as though we're fining him. You're going to lose the item, and you're still going to owe the money. Because what you tried to do was a bad thing. You will not only will you not profit, but you're going to lose as a result of your misdeed. You follow? That seems to be the idea that's being put forward here, is that it's some sort of knas, some sort of a fine.
To fine the borrower, but what happens if he makes it hefker and some unsuspecting third party comes along and takes it. And then someone's going to come to that person saying, no, sorry, you can't keep it because really he wasn't able to be mafkirit and therefore has to go to the lender. So is that what we're saying? According to those opinions, that what would happen? The Beit Din would have to go to this guy and say, sorry, you can't keep it?
Yes.
We'll force it from you.
Yeah.
Your linachasav and take it away from you.
That's what it sounds like. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's true, but that's what it sounds like. Yeah. That is my sense of it. Yeah. Okay. So that's the that's that piece. I think I'm not going to start Yadalad now, even though Yadalad is a lot of fun. Yadalad is the question of whether a person can give tzedakah while he owes money. Someone who owes debts decide he wants to be honored at the shul's dinner. That's our question. So, God willing, next time we'll pick up with that. All right.
So, Lamaisa, what do we say about this?